You know, when I coached at Mississippi State, it was in the mid-70s, we had this saying, we had a big sign, in fact, that said, keep on keeping on. That was one of the things that we wanted to do, and a lot of people use it, and I don't know if we were original with it or not, but that was one of the things, all around our practice field, inside of our dressing room, everywhere, the idea was, you got to keep going, you can't quit, you just got to keep on going. A lot of times we think about things like that in sports, where, you know, we ought to finish what we start. We're not to quit, we are to keep going, whether it's in our jobs. I have a friend. He's had 6 jobs in 2 years. Every time something is not right, he just quits. We've talked about it. I said, you know, you ought to stay a little longer than a couple of months, because if people look at your resume and they go, we quit. We quit in school. We quit projects. We quit when things get hard, even in the ministry. That's why I want you to look at that 1 Corinthians 15 passage right at the very end of the letter, right at the very end of the chapter of 1 Corinthians 15. The 1 Corinthians passage is talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and all the great things. And then he ends with a challenge to us. And it's a good one. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Now, I want you to see what he says. He says, first of all, be steadfast. And that word means just keep on going. See, sometimes we get stopped. I use this word because it means the same as we had a football player when I was at Mississippi State. He was All-American, but he'd get blocked, but he'd get right back up. He was the kind of guy that he never stayed down. He made tackles even after he was blocked because he just got right back up. This word means that. It means keep on going. There are times in our lives that events and circumstances and things are going to knock us for a loop. They're going to stop us for just a second. They're going to hit us, and we're going to go, why now? Why me? Why this? And the question is, what are we going to do? Are we going to say, hey, if this is what this Christianity stuff is, I quit? Or are we going to say, I'm going to trust in my God and I'm going to keep going? And that's what he says here, be steadfast. The second thing is immovable. And that word means don't get off the track. It is so easy for people to get off the track. For you know it, they were rolling and growing, but now they got off on this tangent and their whole life centers around one little other thing. And you go, how did you get off on that? This word means don't get off the track. And then the passage says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And the word abounding means overflowing. And it's a word used if you were pouring water in a cup and you're not looking and it gets to the top and it just starts going over and you go, oh, I poured too much. That word overflowing, that's what this word means. It means overflowing in the work of the Lord, abounding, keeping on doing it. And I think one thing that we can look at, notice, that is the Lord's work, it's not yours. When we talk about ministries, we don't really want to go around saying, my ministry is this. It's not our ministry. It's the Lord's work. We're just instruments that he decides to use. So a challenge that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, listen, beloved brethren, be steadfast. Keep getting right back up. Immovable. Don't get off the track. Always overflowing in the Lord's work. Why? Because you know what you do? It's not in vain in the Lord. It has eternal results. What you do today has eternal results. It's incredible truth. Now, realize that as a disciple of Jesus Christ, we're to keep going. We're to keep going, not letting up. There are two parts, really. There's starting and finishing. We're great at starting. That's the easy part. You can start anything. I'll start that project. We live in a world of starters, but very few finishers. This morning we'll see a challenge from God's Word that we are to continue in the things that we know, to keep on growing, to finish the race, to make a difference, that your entire life will be one as disciples for Jesus Christ. Listen, don't let up. I've seen this, and I've only been a pastor here 10 years, but I have seen in 10 years continually people who will come in who will be excited for a while, and then something will happen. And then you won't see them anymore. And you'll actually talk to them, and they'll say, well, I've just got other things I want to do now. Listen, if God allows you to live to be 70, 80, 90, be just as on fire, just as desiring that your life will count for him. You may not be able to do the same things, but let your life count for Christ all the way till he decides to take you home or come get you. Make that as a decision. God, I want my life to count for you. Remember what Paul said? He said, I ran the race. I kept the faith. I fought the fight. I finished the course. And that's a key word. He finished the course that God had for him. At the very end, he said, I'm ready to die. I'm ready to be poured out as a drink offering. He meant, I'm ready that if God wants to take my life, that's fine. But I have ran that race. I have fought the fight. I have kept the faith. See, my prayer, I don't want some of you, especially college people, I don't want some of you to hear 10 years down the road. Remember JB? Yeah, the church I went to when I was in college? He's out of the ministry.
What?
Yeah, he got out of the ministry. I don't want you to hear that. I want you to come back here 40 years from now, and they're helping me up to the thing. And I'm going, hey. And I'll be about, the podium will be by then. I'll be shrunk down so much, it'll be just about right there. And I'll be able to use this microphone. Thank you for that. But that's what I want. I want, you know what I really want? I want that when I die, that I will have possibly taught the Bible that day. That's what I hope. Well, I hope it's not when I'm 46, but I hope it's when I'm 96. And I want the same thing for you. I want you to fight the fight. Run the race. Keep the faith. Do it. Prof. Hendricks was at Dallas Seminary. You know, he's getting older now. In fact, he was my favorite professor, my favorite teacher, and my favorite speaker of my life. And he said this, I remember in class, he said, where are the older men who are on fire for Christ? You know, sometimes guys, some of these men, some of them, they get a little bit older and they think it's time for all these younger people to take over. I'll just sit back and not do anything. We need the maturity and the leadership of older men. Our society looks at older people and we put them out to the pasture and say, y'all just sit over there and kind of rock back and forth. All these young people, we'll do what we want to do. We don't have any maturity. We don't have any we don't have the wisdom. And so for the men and the women, keep going all the way to the end. We need to run the race. Think about what's been involved. We talked about the salvation as just a gift. You come to Jesus Christ as a gift. It's by grace you're saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. The gift of God is not of works, lest anyone should boast. But discipleship cost us. And there's a time in our lives, and we really challenged it during those 8 weeks of we studied that study on discipleship. We said, if you're not a disciple, if you know Jesus Christ as Savior, consider offering your life to Him, that you want your life to count, that you will be willing, that you will take up your cross. You'll die to yourself. That is a cost, and it costs you everything. But then, there's the finish the course. Continuing in the things that you know. It's a lifelong process of growing to be like Christ, to be used by Him, and the goal is to continue in the things that we've learned. I want you to turn to 2 Timothy 3. Just flip over there real quickly. Second Timothy 3, look at verse 14, because this is the key. He says, and of course Paul is writing to Timothy and he's giving him a challenge and we can make application. He says, you, however, continue in the things you have learned and have become convinced of, knowing from whom you learned them. And then he goes on and talks about from childhood, you've known the sacred writings, the Word of God, which is gives you wisdom that leads to salvation. And he goes on and talks about all Scripture being inspired of God. We'll talk more about that in a second. But what does he say? Continue in the things that you've learned. Now, I want to stop for just a second and remind you, what are these four things that we said that are important that we need to continue in? The first one is the way of salvation. Now, everyone, I pray, everyone in this room, and I pray everyone connected with this church knows that salvation is simply by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. It's not good works. It's not giving your life to Jesus. It's not walking down an aisle. It's not being willing to serve Him. It's not repenting of sins to be saved. It is putting your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, and you are saved. That's the way of salvation. We need to make sure we know it and we spread it the rest of our lives. Second, the continuing thing we learn is the fear of the Lord. We said that's our relationship. That's knowing who He is and His character. As Paul said, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. We want to know it. Not just know about Him, because it's easy to know about Him. It's easy to know the facts. The hard part is knowing Him, and it takes time. The third thing we want to continue for the rest of our lives is to do good works, because that's how we're to be characterized. The Titus 3:8 passage says, it says, for all of those who have trusted in Jesus Christ in God, be faithful to do good works which are profitable for all people. And we talked about it when we did the study on the good works, that in a church like ours who really stresses the grace of God for salvation, sometimes we don't stress doing good. We want to be careful. We don't want to get it mixed up, and people might think you got to do good to be saved. That has nothing to do with it. But as a saved person, we ought to do good. And we need to continue that to the day we die. And finally, the one we spent the last 2 weeks on is we need to learn to be content. There will be nothing that will take you out of the ministry, and when I say ministry, your ministry as a believer on this earth, nothing will take you out of that faster than wanting things. Lack of contentment. Our society will just zonk you because you'll want all that stuff. And all of a sudden, it'll be more important than lives. I said this last week, the most important thing you'll ever do with your life is that you understand the truth of God's Word and you pass it on to other people. You lead people to Christ and you train them and equip them. That's discipleship. That's the most important thing you could ever do. People are eternal, God's Word is eternal, and God is eternal. Everything else will fade away. Doesn't matter what job you do. All of us have different kind of jobs and abilities and all those things. But the most important thing you will ever do in your life is invest your life in people, taking God's Word that you know and that you have learned and that you've continued in and passing it on to others. So what do we need to learn? It's way of salvation, fear the Lord, to do good works, to be content. There are other things. Those are the things that I picked out. Now we return to the charge, and I want you to see it. 2 Timothy again 3:14 says, "You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of." Keep doing these things. The pull of the world will not be for you to do this. In fact, it's going to be just the opposite. The natural thing is for you not to continue in the things that you know, not to continue growing, not to continue to be used. It is a supernatural life in the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, obeying the Word of God. That's the only way you're going to do it. Now, here's a question. Why is it so important? This is the first question. Why is it so important we continue in this stuff? Because we really know the truth that if you trust Jesus Christ as Savior, you're going to heaven no matter what, right? I mean, it's true. It's not based on your faithfulness or your service or your goodness. So if, when I trust in Jesus, I'm going to heaven, and I am, what difference does it matter if I'm a disciple or even if I continue in the things that I've learned? I mean, can I just kind of sit around and I'm on the way to heaven and I am? Answer is, yeah, you can. Why is it so important then that we continue in the things that we have learned? Well, we want to look at this chapter because 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning back at verse 1, flows down to that verse 14. You know, sometimes we pull verses out and we just say, look at verse 14, and we never go back. But what you always have to do is look at the context of a passage. Why did he write to Timothy to continue in the things that he learned? I want you to go back and look at chapter 3, verse 1. Why is it so important? Verse 1. But realize this. In the last days, difficult times will come. Now, we're in the last days. We're in the last days because any time after Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid for sin and rose again is the last days. The writer of the book of Hebrews says that in these last times, God has spoken to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. So any time after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we're in the last days. When people come up to you and say, don't you think we're in the last days? Say, oh yeah, we've been in them. We're in them. In these last days. Notice what he says. Realize this, in the last days, difficult times will come. I want you to know, things are not going to get better. The world's not going to turn around. Suddenly, everybody's not going to start believing the truths of the Bible and live them out. It's going to get worse, not better. Look what he says. He says, for men will become lovers of self and lovers of money and boastful and arrogant and revilers and disobedient to parents and ungrateful and unholy and unloving and irreconcilable and malicious gossips without self-control and brutal and haters of good and treacherous and reckless and conceited. And boy, you just keep, you're just tired of just reading it. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness. People are just going to become more and more self-centered. And all that they want is, look, let me do my thing. I don't bother you. You don't bother me. I do what I want to do. And who has the right to tell me what I should do and should not do? Who has the right to tell me what's right and what's wrong? I choose what's right and what's wrong. That's what our world says now. It's already happened. These are the last times. Holding to a form of godliness. Notice verse 12. And indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Now we look at it and we go, I don't really feel like I'm that persecuted and I'm trying to live. Well, we're just the grace of God so far that our country's not as far gone as some other places. We had Maynard Seaman, who is one of our missionaries. He spoke at our prayer breakfast last Thursday morning. He had just come out of Nepal. And it's, of course, against the law. It's against the law in Nepal for anybody to change their religion. And if a person changes their religion, it's a year in jail. If a person causes somebody else to change their religion, it's 5 years in jail. So that means if you were to be in Nepal and you share your faith with someone, and if they trusted Christ, they would go to jail for a year, you'd go to jail for 5 years. We think maybe when a professor looks at us funny that that's persecution. It's going to get worse. The advantages of so-called Christianity and religion, they're not going to be any advantages anymore in our country. Already, people who believe like we believe, who say, I believe the Bible, I believe Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, I believe there are rights and wrongs, we are declared publicly as right-wing fanatics. That's what we're declaring. That's what you are. You're a right-wing fanatic, according to the world and according to the media. And you and I, we look at it and say, hey, look, we're just the normal. We just believe the Bible. We want to have homes and bring our children up and love them, and we want to do what's right, and we're right-wing fanatics? It's going to get worse. And when we stand for Jesus Christ as the days go on, we will be persecuted. It may be even in our lifetimes we won't see it. Not in the way this is talking about, but we might. Things have changed a lot in the last 20 years. I just don't know what the next 20 years are going to hold. He says, indeed, all those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. See, there are people who not only are deceiving, but being deceived. Let me tell you, you can turn on those TV shows, and those guys don't give the gospel. In fact, it's so far away from the gospel. I was listening, somebody told me the other day they heard a guy turn on that, and he was talking about the gospel to the poor. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah 61, that Jesus Christ, when he came, he would bring the gospel to the poor. And the guy, and you know what the gospel is, that he died and rose again. That's the salvation. Everybody's poor, poor in spirit. This teacher said what he meant was, you don't have to be poor anymore. That's the gospel to the poor, is that people don't have to be poor. They're supposed to be rich. That's false teaching. Either he is a deceiver or he's been deceived. Either one. It's going to get worse and worse. There are guys on TV right now who on purpose plan to deceive the people that they teach. They know what they teach is wrong. I can name names because I know that they put it publicly. Benny Hinn knows that what he teaches is not Bible, and he declares that it's not Bible. So if you ever see Benny Hinn, you understand on the front end, he is telling you that he knows what he teaches is wrong, but he's going to do it anyway. And then there are some poor souls that teach, and they teach false things because they've been deceived. And it's getting worse. Why should you continue? Listen, look what it's looking like. This is what he says. He says there'll be people, verse 13, evil men, imposters, proceeding from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. And then he turns to us. But you continue in the things you have learned and been convinced of, knowing from whom you've learned them. You've learned them from the Word of God. Now, Timothy learned it from Paul, and Paul was an apostle. And when Paul's an apostle, that's the same as God talking, because he sent forth that authority. I'm not that kind of authority. What you learn, you may say, I learned that from JB. No, you've got to go back to the Bible, because it's the authority. I'm not. So you got to continue in the things that you've learned, and that is from God's truth, His Word. Things are getting worse. Somebody has to stand for the truth. It will be people who will deceive, and being deceived, you have to continue in the things that you've learned. That's why it's that important that what we know, as we choose to live for Jesus Christ, that we continue, because you've got to make the difference. You've got to make the difference. Continue in the things that you've learned, the things dealing with salvation, the dealing with the character of God, dealing with how we live our lives, dealing with being content in a fallen world. He says, being convinced of them. That means you go back to you say, that's right, and I know that's right. Let me tell you, if you're not convinced of what you believe, somebody's going to change your mind. I had a friend, had a sister in college here, and she was really involved in our church. And when her brother came off to college, he's a Christian, but he got into a class, geology. And professor told him the Bible wasn't true and all this. And he said, you know, I believe it. He came in to see me. He said, I don't believe any of that stuff that I was taught growing up. I said, why? He said, well, my professor says the rocks are millions of years old and the Bible's not right and all. And we went through all this stuff. But see, he wasn't convinced of what he really believed. You're not convinced what you believe. Anybody's going to change your mind. That's why the Ephesians passage says you're like children tossed to and fro. You hear this and you go, that sounds right. Oh, that sounds right. Know what you believe and why you believe it. It's a key. Everyone in this room, I hope, would say, JB, I believe we're saved simply by faith in Christ. Can you go to the Bible and prove that? I believe that when I trusted in Jesus Christ as my Savior, I am saved forever. Can you go to the Word of God and show that? I believe the Bible is God's Word. Can you go to the Bible and show that? I believe that Jesus Christ is God. Can you go to the Bible and show that? I believe that He's the only way to heaven. Can you go to the Word of God and show that? We must be convinced of what we believe and be able to know it and pass it on. So he says, you, however, continue the things you've learned and become convinced of, knowing from where you've learned them, and we've learned them from the Word of God. So why should we continue? Because times are getting worse and worse. There's false teachers. We live in a fallen world. We must be the ones standing for the truth. We must be the light shining in the darkness. Philippians 2:15 says this, you may prove yourself to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation in which you appear as lights in the world. You are the way that people can find out about Jesus Christ. You're the light. Because the world's going to get worse. So why is it so important? Because we're the lights in a fallen world, and you've got to continue in what you know. The second question that we raised is, what's the focus then? What should be our focus? Well, twofold. It's the Word of God and Jesus Christ, and that ties together, of course. But notice the flow of this passage. You ever wondered why Paul put that passage, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God? You know, we always just pull that out. It's in this passage. Notice what he says. Verse 14. You, however, continue the things that you've learned and been convinced of, knowing from whom you've learned them. Why? Because, and that from childhood you've known the sacred writings, that's the Bible, which is able to give wisdom that leads to salvation, which is through faith in Jesus Christ. And then notice what he says. Because we realize that all Scripture is God-breathed. It's from God. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. It shows us where we're wrong. It shows us how to get right. It shows us how to stay right. With the end result that the person of God, the man of God, will be equipped, mature, equipped for every good work. That's why it's so important. The focus must go back to things. One is the Word and to Jesus. The Word is God's Word. It is profitable for us. You've got to stay in the Word. And if you're not, you will falter, because the Word of God is your source of counsel and strength to live. That's where you go. He says, continue in the things that you've learned, because you know about the Scriptures. That's where you go. And then is Jesus Christ. The book of Hebrews, we've already quoted that passage, but remember it says, seeing we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. How? Looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We run the race with the focus on Christ, obeying the Word of God, continuing in the things that we have learned. That's what it's all about. Let me just read you a couple of verses. We'll open up for questions. But listen to this. His plan is for us to grow. Listen, Ephesians 4:15. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects in Him who is the head, Christ. What do we do? 1 Peter 2:2 says, like a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the Word so that you can grow. Our ultimate goal is to grow. That's why 2 Peter says, grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The end result is maturity. Ephesians 4:13 says, until we all obtain the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature person. The goal is to be like Christ. Ephesians 4:14 says, as a result, we're no longer children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but speaking the truth in love, we are to be like Christ. That's the plan. That's the plan. Take the Word, dig it, know it, apply it, be like Christ. Hang in there, keep the focus on Jesus Christ, continue into the things that you've learned, because the world's just going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And you know what happens? It's like that book that was written several years ago, Frog in the Kettle. You put the frog in the kettle and it begins to get hotter, but see, he doesn't notice it because it started off as cold water and it just gets a little bit hotter at a time. And finally, it cooks him and he didn't even realize it. That's what happens to us. We're in this culture and it's getting worse and worse, and the things that used to bother us don't even bother us anymore. We have a TV show with nudity on it. What's that show called? That police show? I can't think of it. Yeah, NYPD Blue. Yeah, you watched it last night? I mean, anyway, no, I'm just kidding. But I know they do that. I've read some little things, and it talks about nudity. I mean, in my lifetime, you'd think that I ever thought on television? I mean, I grew up with Howdy Doody. I mean, let's face it. Howdy Doody and Uncle Bob or whatever, Buffalo Bob. I mean, that was it. Now, we got people without clothes on television. I mean, you can expect that in movies, possibly. But when I grew up, it wasn't in movies. With Snow White. Do you know that when they did the movie Gone with the Wind, when he said, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn, that was the first time in history that they allowed a curse word in a movie? It took a big act to get that in there. And now, well, we go, if that's the only word they got in there, we say, well, I might even go see it. We're in the kettle. And it's getting hotter all the time. It is changing right before our very eyes, and sometimes we don't realize it. And you must stand. You must continue in the things that you've learned. You must. I must. We got to. We cannot make it. The people will never know about Jesus Christ unless we stand. Philippians 4:9, Paul wrote this. He says, the things that you've seen and heard, practice them. Keep on doing them. It's easy to be fired up as a Christian in the short run. You know, when you think about track, there's races like the 100 And boy, I remember I used to time those. I mean, I coasted for years. You get there, and that gun goes off, and you click a thing, and you're waiting, and then I was like, boy, it's over, and you go, wow. And then there's races like 5,000 meters, 10,000. You turn the thing on, and you're talking to people. Because, see, those go on for a while. Every now and then you look up and go, keep going, you know. The Christian life is a lifetime race. It's not a 100-yard dash. It's faithfulness day after day, step after step, continuing in the things that you know. That's why faithfulness is the key. That's why in 1 Corinthians 4:2 he said, more of it is required of stewards to be found faithful. He never said it's required of us to be successful or tall or handsome. He said faithful, and that's the key. Regardless of your gifts, talents, abilities, wherever he puts you, you're to continue in the things that you've learned being faithful. That's the bottom line. So where do we go to learn? We go to the Word of God. We learn the salvation plan, the fear of God, to do the good works, to be content. The charge is to continue in these things. Let me give an application. We'll open up for questions, but let's continue in the things that we've learned. And that's really what we've said the whole day. We're disciples. We belong to Jesus Christ. We're giving our lives for Him. Let's run the race. Why? Because we live in a fallen world. You are the light. What are the things? The salvation message. It's the gospel. Know it and know how to present it. And as I've said many times, if you don't feel confident on sharing your faith, call me. I will meet with you individually and teach you the bad news, good news, and the bridge. That's two ways to share your faith. And if somehow I couldn't meet with you individually, I will get you with somebody who can. If you want to make sure you are confident in how to share your faith, that's the message. J.C. Ryle wrote, he said, there's only one door, one bridge, one ladder between heaven and earth. The crucified Son of God, whoever enters by Him will be saved. Learn the fear of the Lord, and that means let's take time to know Him. And the bottom line for us as we think about running this race, you got to know Him. You got to spend time with Him. That's the only thing that's going to keep you going as you know Him. And the power of the resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering. Prayer, study the Word. Make a decision that you're going to get into the Scripture on a regular basis. Make a decision you're going to talk to God on a daily basis. We got some prayer books. You heard me talk about them. We finally got them made. I should have brought one today. We got them. We got them in the office. If you want one, come by the office. I'll get you one. And you can pray on a daily basis. A little book that helps you. Make a decision. Your life will touch other lives as you're going to do good works. Make a decision that you're not going to be influenced by this culture, that you're going to be content in the things that God provides for you. You're going to trust in Him and not be going after the things of this world. How do you do it? Keep the focus on Jesus Christ. Keep the focus on the Word. Run the race looking unto Jesus, continuing in the things that you have learned. I hope you hear 40 years from now that JB's still going, if I'm not dead. And I hope I hear the same thing, that every one of you in this room, that we will continue in the things that we've learned, so that we can say, we ran the race, we kept the fight, we fought the fight, we kept that faith, and we finished our course that God had provided for us. Let's pray. We'll open up for questions, comments. Heavenly Father, thanks for this study on continuing the things that we've learned. And Lord, as disciples, we want to keep learning. We want to keep growing. We want to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. We want to desire the milk of the Word. We want to mature and become like Christ. Oh, we realize it's so important because the world is getting worse and worse. And we've got to continue in the things that we know. And we must go back to the Word of God, which is profitable for us. May we keep our focus on Jesus Christ. May we run the race with patience. May we finish the course. May we keep the faith. Lord, I pray for every one of us that will know the message and share it. We'll know our Savior by spending time with Him. That we'll use our lives to do good works. And that we'll live in such a way that this world and this culture will not pull us off to the side. Lord, may we continue in the things that we've learned. We've asked this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.